This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, and these days we get to call her a local artist, Margaret Glaspie is here. Hello and welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
There is a brand new record due out very soon called Emotions and Math out on ATO. MargaretGlaspie.com is the website to go for more information on the album. There is a new record, but this is not the first time we have heard you. In fact, I think the first time I came across your voice was on the Jamie Stone record.
Oh, cool.
The Alan Lomax project.
Awesome.
And I remember 4 or 5 tracks into the record thinking, oh, who is this haunting vocalist that's singing along with the group? Cool tunes, but really, really cool sound on that record.
Thanks.
Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with that project, because what we are going to soon hear you do sounds nothing at all like that.
It's true. Yeah, I was. I grew up actually in the folk scene when I was young. I was a fiddle player, and it kind of introduced me into being a professional musician and just being around professional musicians at a young age. And it kind of evolved into me, into that really just being a gateway into music. And I kind of soon found out when I was about 14 or 15 that it wasn't the fiddle. I mean, I love the fiddle, but it wasn't the fiddle that I loved, more just music in general. And so then I started singing more and playing guitar, and that was really what I gravitated toward. But that being said, I was still kind of in the current of kind of the folk scene and still knowing a lot of those people. And I started to kind of write my own original music. I moved to Boston to go to Berklee College of Music as a singer. And then Jamie Stone just kind of caught light of what I was doing. And in kind of his fashion, he's such a beautiful person and such a cool guy that really has no boundaries in terms of what he's working on. And I wasn't really playing folk music at that point, but he knew that I knew some of the people in the scene and knew that I understood the kind of sensibilities that it takes to play that music. Because I think it is kind of different as far as the approach and understanding the lineage that came before it. And so he asked me if I wanted to be involved in it, and I just kind of said, sure, like, let's just try it out. And so I did, and I toured with that band for a couple of years, which was really fun. And it was a total education and understanding just the history of American music and otherwise. It's totally brought, like, a different perspective for me in understanding just music that wasn't, that's past, you know, 50 years old, I suppose.
Exactly. Well, I mentioned right at the top that we get to refer to you now as a local musician because you are from where?
I grew up half in Gerber, California, and half in Red Bluff, California. So that's kind of where I'm from originally. And I then moved on to Boston and then now live in New York City. So I've lived in New York City for about the past 5.5 years.
So how many years were you in Red Bluff? You went to Mercy High School, right?
Yeah, I went to Mercy High School.
Go Warriors.
Go Warriors. Yeah, it's so wild.
Dreadful soccer team at the time, if I understand correctly.
I was on that dreadful soccer team at one point, so don't, choose your words wisely.
One in nine speaks for itself. I don't have to choose any words.
Fair enough. We didn't have the best track record. I went to Mercy High School just kind of weaved in and out. Like I started to travel quite a bit when I was young and just kind of hang out with musicians, and I was doing fiddle contests and things like that.
There's a lot of that, right? Like there's a fiddle contest in Red Bluff.
There's a total scene in kind of Northern California and Oregon, and I used to play a thing in Corvallis, and I remember there's total fiddle scene in Reading and
right, and Tristan and Tashina Claridge, who
old friends of mine,
are from up in Trinity County.
Mm-hmm.
Hargreaves is from Corvallis,
totally.
Right? The two of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good players.
Yeah,
in that
amazing.
World.
Amazing.
Your family is musical, right? Your mom, who's here with you today, makes music, your siblings make music.
Yep.
What kind?
My dad too. Everyone has just been always really music centric. We've always had guitars in the house. I played fiddle at a young age, and you know, we all kind of had this introductions into music through, maybe it was the public school system. I know that we all touched the public school systems that we were in. We went to Gerber School early on, tiny, tiny school. I love Gerber School so much. And we were fortunate to have all the school systems we were in have school like music programs, which is great. And then, yeah, my parents both just had really good taste in music and was always playing really great records in the house. My dad plays guitar. My mom plays guitar. And everyone's always just kind of we're always singing songs or really kind of following music. And I remember I shared a room with my sister at a young age. And so I had to hear all the music that she was playing, for better or for worse. And so it kind of got me hip to certain things. I'm lucky to have been the youngest child in my family because everybody had such opinions about music and were such music listeners that I kind of got everything that they were interested in all the time. I feel fortunate for that.
Margaret Glasby is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Emotions and Math, due out on ATO Records. MargaretGlasby.com is the website to learn more. I have intentionally not talked a whole lot yet about the record because I didn't want to spoil it. We have been playing the first couple of tunes from this a little bit.
Thank you.
But as I mentioned at the top, this record sounds nothing like you would think considering the conversation we just had about old-time music and Alan Lomax, right?
I departed, okay. Yeah.
What do you want to play first?
I think I'll play the title track first, actually. This is called Emotions and Math.
Oh, and I got you by my side. Oh, everything's alright. It's just when you're gone, I start to snooze the alarm. Cause I stay up until 4 in the morning. Counting all the days till you're back. I'm shivering in an ice cold bath of emotions and math. Oh, it's a shame and I'm to blame. We're alright until you go and I start losing control without warning. Counting all the days till you're back. I'm shivering in an ice cold bath of emotions and math. I've gotta get out of this tree. Oh, off of this limb, I'm a woman acting like a kid. A skinny mess that's breathless from telling you all of the things that I'm gonna do.
That is Emotions and Math, the title track from the new record of Margaret Glasby, who's live in the JPR studios today. MargaretGlasby.com is the website to go for more information. Okay, so how do we get from the conversation we had before the tune to indie rock?
Yeah.
Of you and an electric guitar.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think I was always... I think it's pretty natural, really. It's funny because it feels like playing fiddle was like a different lifetime or something. But it also feels like it was where I was always pointed, was toward writing songs. And like in being a fiddle player when I was young, I was trying to like cover Joni Mitchell songs and play Bill Withers tunes or things like that, where it didn't quite add, like something wasn't, I could tell I was kind of really drawn to lyrical music. And so When I started to kind of crack that open and play guitar and sing more, it was such like an aha moment of like, wow, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I think that it evolved like everything does, I suppose. And I suppose in public, it's such a departure from anything that I ever used to do. But right. to me, it makes just so much sense. You know, it's been such a gradual kind of evolvement into what I'm doing now. But I can see how on the outside, it's like, huh?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I remember hearing that there was going to be an album. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, great, a Margaret Glasby record. And then the day I got it, I put it in, hit play and went, wait, what?
Right.
This is way different than what I was expecting.
Right.
In a way, this is being portrayed as your debut record, though you have released, self-released earlier music that is kind of more of an intermediary between the old world when you were making fiddle tunes
right.
and where you're at now.
Right.
So for anybody that has been following along,
right.
there is a natural progression.
Yeah,
for anybody
exactly.
that's coming in on the ground floor today,
yeah, it's
it would
different.
Be perhaps a little unusual to hear what yeah. you had been doing for a number of years.
Yeah, totally.
You mentioned Berklee. And moving back to the East Coast, how did that process happen? Did you leave after high school, went to college briefly, moved around?
I went right from high school into college. I got essentially a grant to go to school. Well, a grant from an arts foundation called, it's now called Young Arts, but it used to, when I was doing it, it was called National Foundation for Advancement in the Arts. And it was basically an application process trying to get, like, you know, it was high school students that were involved in the arts, and you send in a thing and they tell you whether, you know, you're accepted or not into spending this kind of retreat week with all these other really rad young people. And out of that came a check that they gave to me to do whatever I wanted with. And so I said, I'm going to use this to go to school and to bring me out to the East Coast. And whether I'm going to stay in school or not is questionable because I can't afford to pay for Berklee, but I'm going to use it to get as far as I can. And so I went to Berklee for a semester with that money and had some scholarship from the school too. And then after that, I knew that I couldn't afford to I was just going to be racking up debt. And so I hung out in Boston for 3 years total, worked jobs, and kind of, we'll say eavesdropped on some classes. I snuck into some classes and went to master classes. I went to anything I could and also just had the best relationships with students there. I just made such cool friends there.
Did you do the street performing thing that seems to be quite the thing in Boston?
Not really. No, I never really got hip to busking. I had a club in like Harvard Square that kind of adopted me called Club Passim, which is kind of a renowned club that, you know, a lot of really cool people have played at. And they're always kind of reinventing that club all the time. And I feel like I was a little bit of like a stray dog where they were playing a lot of folk music, but I was just kind of figuring out this other thing that I wanted to do. And so they kind of started to let me in and just say, well, you just do whatever you want, like host shows here and we'll allow you to just kind of figure your thing out. And I really did there. That was like kind of my little hub to, you know, just like workshop songs. And I'd play these little opening slots and then kind of worked my way up to headlining there. And that was kind of this little project for me all the time, was like playing shows at Club Passim and making it so that I could have, you know, content to always present there and kind of refine all the time.
Mm. Well, coming from a musical family, was that acknowledgement from National Foundation for Advancement of the Arts, Berklee, something that went over well with family, or the idea
yeah.
of leaving
totally,
difficult?
Totally. I mean, there's aspects of it that are difficult in terms of like, you know, I'm a young girl and my parents are like, okay, well, I guess you're just going to go out to Boston and, you know, be in music school now. I think it was uncharted territory in certain ways, but my family is like totally super supportive and everyone's very art-minded. So they all understood like what needed to be done for mm-hmm. sure. So everyone's very excited for me.
What prompted the decision to uproot from Boston and go to New York?
It felt like a really natural progression to me. And I also had been talking about just moving to New York City since I was a little tiny thing. So it was kind of a dream, I feel like. And I had just had such an opportunity. I was only living like, 4 hours or something away from New York City. Like, why not live there? Because it just feels like if I don't take that opportunity now, you know. So I did it, and there was just so many, all the music that I, you know, adore was being played there, and all the artists were making art there, and it just seemed like the place to be, for sure. So that's why I went there.
Margaret Glasby is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Emotions and Math. MargaretGlasby.com is the website. All right, what do you want to play next?
I think I'll play another tune off the record. This one's called No Matter Who.
It hurts to be dancing around your telephone, wondering if she's at home or doing the same dance. And you pass the time for an hour or two, wishing he was holding you with both hands. But no matter who, let the phone ring. There's no reason to be leaving you guessing. No matter who got you down, even the weakest of the weak have come around. No matter who. Our fearless beginning and a tragic end for two lovers but not two friends. Hello, regret. You're thinking, God above, that you've been left while wishing you had never met. But no matter who, let the phone ring. There's no reason to believe in you guessing. No matter who got you down, even the weakest of the weak have come around. No matter who. Oh, if I understand how the heart behaves, if you could see that man, I know who you'd say. Still in love, I'm still in love. Are you, you still in love? I'm still in love. Are you, you?
That is Margaret Glaspie here on Jefferson Public Radio. Red Bluff's own.
That's right.
Margaret Glaspie live in the JPR studios today. The new record is called Emotions and Math, due out on ATO Records. When did you decide to start singing? I mean, you had been a fiddle player. There was a brief foray into trombone playing.
Right.
But then when did singing come along? And how did you develop? I mean, your voice has got a growl to it. There's some real grit to
right,
you singing.
Right. I was a fiddle player for a long time, and then I just started to kind of sing. I think I sang like other kids kind of sing when they're young. It was like my house was always filled with music, and so you were kind of always singing along to the radio in some capacity. But I think I started kind of more formally singing when I was like in middle schoolish. You would start to be like kind of required to sing the songs you were playing on the fiddle because a lot of those songs had words. And so I started to kind of do that. And then when I was kind of early high school, I started to kind of take it a little more seriously and write songs and kind of started to hone in on that. And I think that singing style, like, it becomes kind of cultivated like anything else. I think I always, you know, sang generally like this, but as far as like, you know, things that happen or special sounds or anything like that, I think it's just kind of evolved. It almost reminds me of an artist or something. Like you start making art and then you kind of learn different techniques. And so then the things that you're making maybe get either more thorough or complex. And I think that's kind of, it feels like tools in my toolkit or something like that. I've learned to do different things with my voice and kind of use those as embellishments or, you know, as needed.
Well, now that you are a bona fide rock guitarist, Does the fiddle come out much anymore?
No.
Really?
I haven't played it in so long. Yeah. I mean, once in a while, if, you know, you're hanging with friends and someone's playing the fiddle, I'll try and chop away at it. But I don't play the fiddle really anymore at all. And maybe someday I'll pick it back up again. But I'm so on this kind of track right now and so focused on songwriting.
Did the songs that ended up on this record develop during your stint in New York, or are some of them from a catalog that goes back a few years?
Most of it's all in New York. About half the record is very new, and then the other half is a little older. I feel like I made other projects, kind of like there's one EP that I made out of my room called Homeschool, and then there's another one that I made at a label in New York called If and When. And those songs were, you know, I captured those at the time, but then there were always songs in the back of my head that I knew were supposed to be saved for a bigger project because I knew that they were going to contribute to something I was kind of feeling was going to be more extensive and more of like a record and a concept. And so there's a couple songs, like there's a song on the record called Anthony that's like that, and there's a song on the record called Memory Street that's like that. And even the one I just played, No Matter Who, that's a little older too. And I knew that I didn't want to record that for anything else other than my first record.
Okay,
and so I kind of saved up a few songs like that.
It seems like you have one of those amazing South by Southwest connection stories too, right? Because this record deal kind of came about due to the exposure you got at a South by.
I mean, I just had my first South by Southwest experience and it was insane. It was, I played so many shows and did so many interviews and so many, it was packed and it was also incredible. But the way that this record deal came about, I had actually recorded this in different, the whole record in its entirety. I recorded it first on an iPad. I made demos of every song. And then after,
just you and guitar.
Yeah. Well, and other little instruments and things like that. It was all multi-tracked. And so I was kind of getting in the production mindset, like everything was done in a certain way. And then the next phase of it, I really wanted to make the record, and I was tired of waiting around for like sums of money to somehow appear. And so my boyfriend and I went and got some recording gear, and I just started to kind of learn how to engineer it. And so I started to make the record in my room. And by the time I'd been done tracking most of that, then ATO got in touch with me and asked me if I wanted to make a record. So then I made the record again in the studio properly. So it felt like I made the record three times. And they had just kind of heard about me through the grapevine, and I'd played out in New York City so much that they were kind of catching light of what I did. And that's how that happened. Mm.
For folks who have now heard the songs from the record and have heard some of the stuff from your earlier work, especially with the Lomax project, one unlikely collaborator is the guitarist Julian Losch.
Oh, yeah.
I was amazed to see the two of you on stage on a YouTube video playing. How did the two of you get connected, and where is the common ground between what you do and what he does?
Julian's the best. He, we met in music school originally in Berkeley, and we've known each other for, I don't know, like 8 years or so.
And he can basically play the phone book.
Yeah, right? Totally. He's pretty able on the guitar. And yeah, I mean, we've always been kindred spirits and always been kind of working alongside one another. And let me see. I mean, I can't really remember when we actually met or we started playing music together. I remember our first gig together, and that was we decided to play a gig at like an old folks home, which was really fun. And I remember it was one of the hardest gigs I've ever played because the banter was so hard. Like, you couldn't talk about anything that they would think was funny because you, like, pop culture references are off. You know, you can't, you're trying to be really respectful all the time. So you can't be like, I don't know. It was just a hilarious gig. But yeah, we've always been making music together, and we have a band together too that unfortunately we don't play enough because we're always doing our own projects all the time, but we've been collaborators for a long time. Mm.
The record is due out in mid-June.
Yeah.
This is probably your first time doing the full-blown pre-release promo thing.
Yeah.
With a ton of these, right? A ton of this
yeah,
exact
totally.
Scenario.
Yeah.
What are the highlights and lowlights of this situation for you right now with the
big
push?
It's all been like such a blessing to me. I think it's just all really rad, to be honest with you. I'm just so on board. You know, I get really tired sometimes because it's been pretty full on, and I'm touring for a long time. So that's, I think that mostly I'm just really happy all the time, and so just feel really lucky. And then, you know, I think that it's always a balance in trying to find your own take care of yourself and trying to find your own boundaries with it all and say, like, I need to sleep now, not later, but now, and learn like how to do that and really just consciously be there and make sure that you have what you need all the time. That's one of the challenges that I have sometimes because it's so fun and you want to be with everybody all the time and just say, sure, whatever, let's go hang out. But then you kind of start to have to conserve so much energy in order to kind of show up and do your best at either, you know, a radio show or like a performance. And so you kind of learn how to, or at least I've learned how to tour, and I'm learning how to tour the most efficient possible in terms of just me being happy and everybody else being happy. And yeah, that's the big kind of balancing act.
Do you get any time to go back to Red Bluff and connect with family and friends?
I mean, I've got my mom with me on tour right now, which is super fun. And there's, you know, that where I can kind of bring people along, which is awesome. It's hard. It's harder now because it's harder to plan around my schedule because everything's, it's now I have to be super conscious about what I can, you know, let be work and what I can let be family. So I'm still kind of finding that balance too. But yeah, it's always a priority for me to see my family and just hang out with them as much as possible.
But maybe at some point there'll be another state theater performance.
Hopefully.
Maybe one at the Cascade in Reading, right?
If we can help organize that. That would be amazing.
A number of years ago, you used to keep a journal. You talked about clippings of Alan Lomax back in those days.
Oh, yeah. This is crazy.
And I would imagine that now there's so much being written about you.
Yeah.
That thing would get a little unwieldy quick. Are you still doing that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, the kind of just, I suppose, to be on the same page, I guess the journal that I used a journal in like, kind of like a, I don't know what you would call it, but it was just, you know, things that I was thinking about, things that I was interested in, and I just compile stuff all the time. And I do that less now because I have less time to kind of have the time to just think about things. But that those journals would fill up with all the different kinds of things. And it was funny with the Alan Lomax thing because I just thought it was an interesting photo that I saw in the Times of Alan Lomax. And then lo and behold, like a week later, Jamie Stone asked me to do that project after I'd clipped it and put it into my journal, which is so like, you know, the power of the universe, I suppose. But in reference to press and things like that, it's kind of weird. I mean, I'm kind of like getting accustomed to it. In some ways, I don't really want to get accustomed to it and just let it be its own beast, and I'll just go do my thing, and and the things that get written will do theirs. And that's been a little bit of like a, you know, I learn how to, my relationship to it. It kind of changes every day. Mm. But yeah, it's definitely it's happening.
Yeah. Well, we are really happy for you.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to finally meet you.
Thank you.
Margaret Glaspie is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record due out mid-month is called Emotions and Math, out on ATO. MargaretGlaspie.com is the place to go for more information. You have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with?
Yeah. Why don't I'm going to play one that we've been playing on the radio as well. This one's called You and I. Thank you so much for having me.
But playing it on the radio with a slight edit to
with a
it,
slight
right?
edit. Yes, with a slight edit. There may be a few cuss words on the record.
It's not super radio friendly, I have to admit, up front. Did that thought process, you know, work
no.
itself in? Yeah.
I mean, I think I try not to, like, I thought about it. I mean, those things pass through my mind, and then I say, well, oh, well, just because I can't, you know, you can't let it kind of steer you too much, and you just got to make what you're going to make. But, yeah, it was kind of unfortunate that was, like, one of the radio, you know, that we all agreed, like, this is going to be great for radio, because obviously it's not. But c'est la vie, I guess.
Yeah, anytime we see a song with lyrics of truck or duck, we run for the hills because we know what's coming. Right? It's just years of experience. Well, I'll tell you what, you do it the way you want to do it, and we will make it work for radio.
Awesome. That sounds great.
Margaret Glaspie is live on Jefferson Public Radio.
Oh, tonight I'm a little too turned on to talk about us. And tomorrow I'll be too turned off and won't give a fuck about you and I. I don't want to see you cry, but it feels like a matter of time. I'm not looking for an open door to talk about love. Maybe you agree, but I see you saving pictures of you and I. I don't want to see you cry, but it feels like a matter of time. Here I thought we had some kind of understanding that we know Dick and Jane out on parade. Not looking for lengthy or demanding. Nothing's lost if nothing's gained. Nothing's gained. Just a smile, a kiss is just a kiss. Still I see you all the while, reading into it. No, there's no you and I. I don't wanna see you cry, but it feels like a matter of time. I think you might be harboring a heartache. I think you might be crying when I'm gone. Mistake. I let it linger too long, too long.
That is You and I. It's Margaret Glaspie from the brand new record called Emotions and Math. Information at margaretglaspie.com. We will have audio from our live session as well as a few photographs up on our website later this afternoon at ijpr.org. Margaret, thanks again for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a really, really cool new record.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Come back and visit anytime.
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks for having me.
Open Air continues right after this.